Watch our boasting, watch our thoughts of ourselves. Let us not think too highly of ourselves, but to uplift you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Bible actually has a lot to say about boasting. In this passage that we have begun with, is not necessarily God saying boasting is a sin. Here, you know, God's almost saying it in an encouraging change the direction of your thought kind of way. But that does not diminish the sinfulness of boasting. Okay? God, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. This glory here is to boast. It's to uplift, to say, hey, look at me, to glorify. glory in his wisdom. The mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So, you're wise, you're smart, you know things. When you figure stuff out, you get it right. You're not supposed to be going around saying, hey, look at me. You bring your questions to me, I'll get it right. I'm the one. If you're strong, you're not supposed to go around and say, oh, I can do that. I'll move that car. I'll pick up those rocks. Look at me. You know, we have strongman competitions and they see how many hundreds of pounds they can lift. Well, that's great and all. It's amazing. But the whole premise of those competitions is exactly the opposite of what the Bible says, isn't it? Let not the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Hey, I'm well off. Look at me. I can have all these things. Look how much money I have. Look at the influence I can have. Look at the things that I can buy and so forth. It's kind of off subject, but I was thinking today, and I'm not even sure how I got on the thought. But, you know how somebody in our circle, we go to a restaurant and we think, $100 for that plate? I think I'll find a different restaurant, right? Or, you know, where's the burger and fries? Oh, okay, well, 20 bucks for a burger. Well, but I was thinking about that, and for us, that's like, you know, man, you could eat for a week on $100. But for someone who has millions and billions of dollars, I remember not entirely how this came up, but the thought came along the lines of the Koch brothers, the guys that own the Wana Mill, and owns other enterprises in this area. Basically, the Koch brothers keep a lot of people working around here. On their worth, $40 billion each. So somewhere in the mess of thoughts, I was thinking how, you know, they could go into a restaurant and have really fancy $1,000 plate, and that's like pocket change to them. it'd be like us paying $5 for our, you know, for how we see financial scale. But, like I said, that was a bit of a rabbit trail. But you think about that. And there, let's just say somebody like that with all their money, and they go to that place for the express purpose so that everybody sees that, oh, I can buy this really fancy meal. It's going to cost me $1,000. It's going to take me 10 minutes to eat. You know, and other people are going, whoa, right? Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's where we need to find glory. That's where we need to find the things that excite us, that we want to share, that we want to demonstrate, that we want to have others be a part of. Because see, that's what boasting is really all about. It's what you're excited about and you want others to have a part of. And the difference is whether you're like this guy, I'm great, I'm handsome, I'm rich, and you want people to have a part of you. You want them to, you know, to have the benefit of you rubbing off on them. But God says no. He delights in His loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And we ought to as well. We ought to have that desire for others to share and to benefit from God's goodness. Turn, if you will, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, where Pastor had us on Sunday. We're going to read the same passage. Verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So here, well, in Jeremiah, it's God says, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Glory in me. It's kind of an encouraging discouragement from doing, from boasting. But here, God says, all such boasting is evil. All such rejoicing is evil. When we're boasting of our own selves, of our own merits, of earthly things, God says it's evil. And evil is sin. Evil is something that separates us from God. And it does separate us from God when we realize that, just like in Jeremiah, God says, that takes you away from knowing and understanding me. Because that's what it really does. That's the root problem with boasting, is that it takes us away from understanding and knowing God. So what are some things that boasting does? Let's go to the first slide there, Caleb. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16. Boasting elevates our pride. So boasting is out of pride, but it elevates our pride as well. Remember when we talked about how you have that balloon and you keep blowing that balloon until, you know, it's that illustration? Well, it's interesting to me that the Bible, one of the terms that is used for boasting or around the instance of boasting is puffing up. Puffing up. So boasting is kind of like the breath that goes into the balloon of pride and makes it bigger. Does that make sense, kids? So you can be proud. I'm not saying you can be proud as in an allowance, okay? You have the ability to be proud and keep it inside. You have the ability to be proud and really kind of control it so it doesn't get in the way of what people think of you. It'll still cause problems in your life if you have this in this little box and you say, I'm such a good person. Nobody has to know this, but I'm a good person in my little box. You can try to have pride that way. But when you take that lid off the box and you start breathing into it, you take, let's call your pride a balloon, and you start boasting. It's like you take out that balloon and you start saying, look at me. Look at what I did. Look at what I have. And the boasting puffs up your pride. And what that does, it blinds you. Kids, how many of you have blown up a balloon so big it covers your face and you can't see past it while you're blowing that balloon up? You done that? Okay. Pride, when you're boasting about who you are, what you can do, how great you are, pride blinds you. All you can see is your balloon. Me, me, me. I found this great graphic. It's hard to see clearly when one is blinded by pride. And somebody blurred that all out except for the pride. They did a good job with that. It is hard to see clearly when you're blinded with pride. When you look at everything through the light of yourself. Okay, here, kids, do something for me real quick. Take your hand, put it in front of your eye, and let's see. Well, do you see anything? Can you describe anything in the room if your hand's in front of your eye? No, you see your hand, don't you? It's hard to see clearly when you're looking at yourself. You don't see the room, you don't see people, you don't see what's going on around you because you're looking at yourself. The first thing that we need to understand is pride blinds you to what's really going on. And when we puff up our pride by boasting, look at me, look at what I can do, you're more focused on you than anything else. Jesus said of the Pharisees, who were known to be proud people, he said, "The blind will lead the blind." Do any of you kids remember what will happen to them? They both stumble and fall in a ditch. Yes, one is where it says he'll be a stumbling block is a little bit different, but that time he said they'll both fall in a ditch. Think about it. It's dark outside. If two of you kids went out there, pick one to be in the front, and you both close your eyes and start walking, where are you going to end up? Well, there's a ditch there, and there's a ditch there, and there's a ditch there, and there's a ditch there. You're pretty much for sure going to end up in one of those ditches, aren't you? Because you both have your eyes closed. Pride blinds and causes problems. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 16 says, I'm not in Ecclesiastes. It would help if I got there. Got ahead of myself and I turned to Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 7:16 says, "Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself?" Don't make a big deal about how good you are. Don't make yourself to be the smartest one in the bunch. Why should you destroy yourself? See, Solomon had a very simple thought to give you. If you try to make yourself the best one, if you try to make yourself the smartest one, you'll probably end up eating your words or eating your actions or wishing you could, the floor would open up and swallow you and you weren't there anymore because it wasn't the way you said. God told Solomon to ask the reader, why should we destroy ourselves? Because that's what boasting does. One of those such instances, when we look at the next slide, was in 2 Chronicles. And that leads us to our next thought as well. Boasting gives people false assurance or courage. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Verses 17 through 22. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice. And I'm just going to stop 1 second here. If you read the context, he may have been taking something from advisors, but the context, he has just come from arguing with the prophet of God and taking his own counsel rather than the prophet's, okay? So when it says he took advice, I think it was either his own advice or his advisors at that time were patting him on the back saying, okay, Amaziah, if you think that, yeah, it's good. You're doing all right. You're pretty smart. So they were boosting his ego. And that's the advice he took. So he's looking at that balloon in front of his face. Oh, I'm so great. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, and son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldst fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash the king of Israel went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah king of Judah at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. Now when Amaziah called up Joash, he didn't say, let's have coffee. He says, bring your soldiers. I want to look you in the eyes with my soldiers, and we're going to take over Israel again. I'm going to be the king of a united Israel again. And Joash says, no, you aren't. Just because God gave you victory over Edomites doesn't mean you're this great, wonderful, powerful person. You don't have this amazing army. See, Joash knew that Amaziah was not following God. He knew that God would not bless a man who is not following God in attacking God's own people. So I said this, Amaziah, this is a crazy idea. You're hurting your own relations here. But I love the illustration he gives. You know, this thistle says, if I can cross my line with the cedar tree, man, we'll have some great big thistles. And a beast comes along and squashes the thistle. I think God gave him that illustration to give to Amaziah. That's what Amaziah did. I'm so wonderful. I can smash the Edomites. I can do what I want with their stuff. God's not going to correct me. And I can still smash them. So I can rule a united Israel again. Yep, that's me. And Joash says, no. God doesn't want you worshiping idols. He won't give you all of Israel. And says that Judah was put to the worse before Israel. They failed miserably. Because it was all on his pride, where he had puffed himself up with his boasting. Notice what he said. He's meddled to his hurt because his heart had lifted him up to boast. Another thing that boasting does is causes shallowness. Next slide there, Caleb. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, everyone. I'll read 1 and 2. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. if everything you do is to toot your horn and have people say, oh yeah, look at them, they're so great. God says, that was the most reward you'll ever get for that. Think about that. But what, that's what I wanted. I wanted that pat on the back. I wanted people to think I was great. I wanted people to be happy with me. And God says, okay, you got what you wanted. That might be a little bit hard to understand, but there is no value in that. There's no value. It doesn't help you tomorrow. It doesn't help you next year. It doesn't help you at the end of your life. The fact that somebody smiled and praised you because you asked for it is... I'll show you how valuable that is. Okay? Samuel, come here. Come here. You did such a good job coming. This is a $100 bill. Yeah. You can go sit down. Thank you. Now he can go spend that $100 bill. Right? I can even make it, if you'll come again, I can even make it better. Come here. Come here. Man, he is doing so good, isn't he? I mean, look at him. He's got a great big smile. He's coming right away. Almost. I had to call him twice. But he looks good, doesn't he? Look, now it even says $100. That is how valuable... I realize he didn't ask to be praised at this in this instance, but when we lift ourselves up, we say, hey, look at me, look at all these wonderful things I can do or have or be or whatever. And all we're doing is trying to get that attention. And the praise that we get is as valuable as that $100 bill I just gave him. He can't do a thing with it. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, you can't go and buy the remote control you always wanted with it. Maybe in a different world, but I'm not like some that can just print money. Sorry to break it to you. But what that does, it causes shallowness. Now, if he went to the store and he tried to spend that and said, hey, my friend told me this is a $100 bill, he would be laughed out of the store, wouldn't he? They'd say, okay, sure, buddy. But if, and you would think, if somebody believed that was an actual $100 bill just because, oh, so-and-so told me it was, you would call them shallow, wouldn't you? He said, can't you think? Don't you understand that that's nothing? It's the same way, kids. If you go over, if you spend your life saying, look at me, I do all this kind of stuff. And everybody says, yeah, that's great. And so to the next person, you say, look at me, I'm so great because they said so. And that person happens to know that the other person said it just because, well, that's basically just what you wanted them to say. And you were driving them nuts, so they said it so you would go on. That's how valuable praise that for you that was generated by your boasting is. It's laughable. It's just like this guy right here. Look at me. I'm so cool. I'm the best. And he's about as shallow as a one-drop puddle. Another thing that boasting does is causes fights, often without realizing it. Turn to the next slide. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth in his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that is of a proud heart, and as we've compared with these other passages, if you've got that proud heart, and you puff it up, then you're meddling, you're causing problems, you're causing your own hurt, right? We've seen that in these other verses. So he that trusteth in his own heart, excuse me, he that is of a proud heart, stirreth up strife. Okay, let's take the balloon illustration again. I should have brought a balloon with me, I'm sorry. Picture, if you will, you've got this balloon, and you've got a sink full of water. Okay? It's all the way full of water. Kitchen sink. No overflow drain. All the way full of water. Imagine with me, if you will, you got that balloon, you lean over the sink. And you start blowing up that balloon. What kid can tell me what happens as you blow up that balloon over this full kitchen sink? It overflows. Now, why is the water overflow? Hey, you're blowing up a balloon. Why does the water overflow? Yeah, you're filling it with your own hot air. And you're pushing everything else out of the way. It's me! Get out of the way! He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, pushes himself in there, stirs up that water and spills it all over. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now here is another problem as well with boasting, with saying, I am so great. I'm so wonderful. I've got this covered. My bank account's good. My knowledge is... I've got this thing figured out. It takes us away from trusting in the Lord. So, we cannot understand God. We cannot know God, as we saw in Jeremiah. But here, it takes us away from trusting in God. God actually has this entirely under control. I might think I've got this figured out. Today I plumbed in a dishwasher. It all worked fine. The wires went on right. I even had to monkey. It was a used dishwasher. I monkeyed around with fittings and I got it all plumbed in there. Saying, hey, I'm doing good. Turn it on. And it goes underneath. Well, there's a hole in a hose on the bottom of the dishwasher. Is, you know, I stick both my thumbs in this hole, great big hole. It wasn't going to work that way. That, you know, that's a lot of times how we approach problems. Oh, I've got this figured out. I've got enough money to take care of this issue. Or I've got enough wisdom to take care of this issue. I've done this kind of thing before. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. This issue might not be identical to last time. And there might be a great big hole in the hose somewhere. That'll come back and spray you in the face. It causes fights without realizing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, we won't read all of it, but... you know the passage, you can go ahead and read it, but on your own time. But you'll remember that there's all this bickering and fighting and problems going on in the Corinthian church. And why? 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul says repeatedly, you're boasting, you've puffed yourselves up, and you hold each other against each other. So, it says... It's all about the boast. They say, hey, I'm this way, or such and such. Oh, I'm with so and so. And this is how it goes. We've got this figured out. And it tore the church apart. Got to 1 Corinthians 5 where there was gross sin in the church. And they said, you're all right, buddy. Just hang with us. Our goodness will rub off on you. And it was destroying not only the church, but the testimony of Christ. Paul said, no, don't do that. Then in Psalm 94 and verse 4, just one more note on the church in Corinth. You read through it, and they thought they were doing good. They thought they were a good bunch of people. But they were fighting all the time. And again, that shows that boasting causes fights, whether we realize it or not. It may cause somebody to fight with you. It may cause two other people that are envious of you to fight with each other. Whatever it is, it causes fighting. Psalm 94 and verse 4. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? How long? Well, till the end of days. Because we're the same old fools. But notice the psalmist doesn't say that boasting is nice things. Think about that. Now, when we boast, we think we're saying nice things, don't we? I'm so great. I'm so smart. I'm so rich. I'm so whatever. I'm so nice. Look at all these nice things I'm saying about myself. And the psalmist says, how long shall they utter and speak hard things? Things that cause difficulties. Things that cause hurt. Things that create a block, a stumbling block in your own path. And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. That's what boasting does. It causes fights. Sometimes without realizing, sometimes on purpose. But they are not gentle words, no matter how nice you may intend them to be. Also, boasting keeps you from working. Turn to the next slide. Did you know that? Boasting keeps you from working. Now, you can find somebody who's a hard worker and boasts all the time, sure. But if they'd shut up, they'd work harder. A few of you that have had people work for you knew exactly what I was talking about, don't you? James chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17 again says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When you look at verse 17 in this context, kind of changes or helps you realize what's going on, doesn't it? This person who's boasting, saying, I'm gonna do all these great things today and tomorrow. I'm gonna go in the city. I'm gonna buy and sell and build. And I'm just so good at all these things that I'm doing. Well, if you know all these good things to do, and you're not doing them, it's sin. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. If you spend all the time talking about all these things you can do, nothing's getting done. There's an old drawing that's actually pretty popular. It says, the boaster, in the house, in the market, in the streets, everywhere he was boasting his feats, till one said with a sneer, let us see it done here. What so oft done with ease, one repeats deeds, not words. It says, if you can do all these great things, let's see it. Oh, the pickle that creates right there. Oh, but it's not the right situation. I don't have my stuff with me. Oh, I got a tummy ache. I'll be right back. If you practice boasting, you become a bigger and bigger boaster. One of these days, somebody will call you on it. And that's where Ecclesiastes 7:16 comes back in. Why do it? Because you'll destroy yourself. You'll destroy yourself. You'll get in that position where somebody says with a sneer, "Let's see it done here. Yeah? You can do that? Show me." Proverbs 25 and verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Look how wonderful I'm. I have this ability like nobody else. I am the best person to ever have this ability. Okay, show me. I don't have everything I need right now. Uh-huh. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Let's go to the next slide there. Albert Barnes said, "The man who does the most good is the least accustomed to boast. The man who boasts may be regarded as doing nothing else." Not that doing nothing else other than what he says, but as doing nothing else other than boasting. So the man who boasts the most does the least, is the sum of that statement, and how true that is. James chapter 3 and verse 5. Next slide there, Caleb. James chapter 3 and verse 5. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Oh, I didn't mean any harm. Man, I was just encouraging people to get on board and do things with me. No. Oh, I just wanted some attention. I just wanted people to think that I was a good person. No. The tongue, it's a little member. It's a pretty small part of your body. Boasts great things, but it can burn up everything. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Turn to Proverbs 27, verse 2. Last slide, last verse.